Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Everybody's kind of moved around on me today. I like that. Keeps me on my toes. I have to see who's here by looking in different places. And I will tell you, one of the things that we've done over time to accommodate the coronavirus is we have moved some pews out. And when we have preachers that are not me and our numbers are good, that occasionally means that we need to kind of really pay attention to what we're doing as far as our seating is concerned. So let's make sure that we accommodate each other as best we can. It is good to be back. I am thrilled to be with you. And I've said this once or twice, but I'll say it again. It's very good for me personally to have men like David and Rick who can teach class and preach for us and know that that's being handled by members of the congregation. So thank you for that. And thank you for everyone who participates in what we do here at the work of the Lord. I've been on vacation, which is great. And I tell you what happens to you when you're on vacation. You think about things you don't have time to think about when you're in the weekly grind. Well, preachers have a weekly grind too, believe it or not. There are bulletins to be done, articles to be done, radio shows to be done, sermons to be preached, Bible classes, on and on and on. There is a weekly rhythm to what you do. When you get out of it, you can look back. Well, we hiked up to Chimney Tops, and that increases, goes to a 2-mile trip, increases 1,200 feet in elevation. So as you're doing that, there's a lot of this. Well, guess where I'm looking? I'm looking down. Well, that's kind of the way our weekly grind is. There's a lot of this, and there's not a lot of this. So in thinking about this congregation and my family and me personally and people that I know, I tried to think about what was the thing I wanted to speak on when we got back. And this is basically a lesson that I've done before, and I think I titled it something like, "Would a pagan know you have a God?" Would a pagan know that you have a God? If you were to talk to someone who came from some remote island and they had a physical, maybe a wooden carved God that they offered sacrifices to and that they did things to, and they watched your life, they watched my life, would they think I have a God? Because do I have a God who is God of all my life, or do I have a God who is in my life? Right? Have you ever heard this phrase? Someone might say, "I need God in my life," or "I have God in my life," or "they need Jesus in their life." Well, that's true, but how much of my life are they in? Is God in? Are they just some token part of my life? Or is God my God all the time? Do I live as if someone is in control of me? You heard Brother Mitchell read to us from Luke chapter 22 there. Jesus says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Is that the life that I live? Is God God of my life totally? I actually got in contact with Mike Richardson because I was going to credit him for this phrase, and I thought he might have gotten it somewhere before. God is either Lord, God is either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Is God the Lord of all my life? Because if He's not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. So that's the question. Is God the Lord of my life? Be turning over to Joshua chapter 24. We're actually going to start in Exodus 20, but I want you in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, we sing a song, "Dare to Stand Like Joshua." We're going to talk about the verse that comes from. But I want to start with Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments. God speaks directly to the people of Israel, scares them to death. Notice what God says here in verse 2 and 3 of Exodus. It's on the board for you there. "I am the Lord," you could substitute the word Jehovah there, "I am Jehovah, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Jehovah,
your God. The question this morning is Jehovah my God? And he's either God of all my life, or he's not God in my life at all. Notice the first commandment there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. To say Jehovah is my God is to give him free rein over everything in my life. Do the people I know, do the people I work with, do the people who are my friends, do they know that I have a God? If they looked at my life, would they say, well, there's someone who's made Jehovah their God? Now to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 here, this is where Joshua, who has led the people of Israel into the promised land, he is about to die. And he, much like Moses in the end of Deuteronomy, kind of recommits the people to following after God. And he challenges them. He says, you must either leave the little g gods of Canaan and of your homeland, and you must serve God, or you must do the other. There's no in between. Joshua chapter 24, let's start our reading in verse 14. Joshua chapter 24 in verse 14. This is Joshua speaking to the assembled people of Israel. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Which is it? You can't have a little God in your life. God can't be some kind of Superman God. In other words, I live my life the way I want to live my life, and then when I'm in trouble, I want to have a little bit of God in my life so I can call on him and he can come get me off the train tracks like Lois Lane. That's not having a God. That's not having Jehovah as your God. That's you being God and God is your slave. That is not the relationship. Make Jehovah God your God. Give him control of your life. Submit your wants and needs and desires to Jehovah God first. Have no other gods before him. Joshua says here, this may seem evil to you. If you read the rest of the text, Joshua at one time tells him, you can't do it. Can we do it? Do I have a God? Or am I my own God? And God just serves me. He's some kind of self-help God. He's some kind of Superman God. I have a little God in my life. He's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Look down a little further in the same chapter, verse 16. The people answered the challenge of Joshua. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God, see that construction, it is Jehovah our God, who brought us out of our fathers, us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, here we go, we will serve Jehovah, for he is our God. Jehovah is God. Jesus is Savior. There's nothing you can do about that. You can be an atheist. You can be an agnostic. You can be a devil worshiper. You can be any of those things. It doesn't change the fact that Jehovah is God and that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is Savior. The difference is when you or I make Jehovah my God, the one who I will worship, the one who I will serve. the one to whom I will try and conform my life. Jesus is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. So this morning we're going to look at this within three contexts. Within the context of worship, do I have a God? Within the context of service, do I have a God? And within the context of repentance, do I have a God? Because I think a lot of us like to come and we want the salvation, we want the good stuff, we want the filling of the Holy Spirit, we want all those things. But Lord, don't be meddling in my life. Don't be telling me what I can and cannot do. Don't, Lord, be telling me what is sin. How dare you use that word? Don't you know that that hurts people's feelings? Sound familiar? We live in a world that Jehovah is not the God of. We live in a world that said, we're going to do what we want to do, and we don't care what you say. We don't care what our parents say. We don't care what God says. Is Jehovah their God? Well, what about me? Is Jehovah my God? And could you tell it by how I worship, how I serve, and how I repent? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 through 29. We're going to be in Hebrews quite a bit. It might be worth turning over there for just a moment. What would a pagan know about me? Would a pagan think I have a God? Would my neighbor think I have a God? Could they tell? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29 reads like this. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Look over a page in your Bibles to chapter 13 and verse 15, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name. Do I worship God? We have worship services weekly here at 10 a.m. We have Bible study Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. That's the bare minimum. Do I come to God? Do I worship Him? When I sing songs, when I pray to Him, am I doing so with my heart? Am I doing so with reverence and awe, with the understanding that my God is a consuming fire, and praise His name, that He has saved me through the blood of His Son? Praise God. Have your coworkers ever heard you say that? Do the people that know you ever hear you say, thank you, Lord? Do you have a God? Do you have a God? Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Yes, that refers to our worship service, but I will tell you, it says continually. Praise God. I love this little quote. This is from a man. I've always said Pliny the Younger. I heard someone who supposedly knows how to pronounce this say Pliny. I have no idea. Pliny or Pliny the Younger was a Roman official in about the year 110, 115. He persecuted Christians. He got Christians to deny Jesus Christ. And he's writing a letter to the Emperor Trajan. And in writing this letter in the year AD 112, he describes what these Christians were like. And do you know what he describes? He describes a people who have a God. They were accustomed to meet on a fixed day before dawn. It should be said, before I go any further, that these were Christians who had denied Jesus Christ, but they were describing what their sins were to this Roman official. Describing what these strange believers in this strange God that was unknown to the Romans. Who is this God? Who is this Jesus? Who are these Christians? This is what they say. We're accustomed to meet on a fixed day before dawn and sing responsively a hymn to Christ as to a God. And to bind themselves by oath, not to some crime, but not to commit fraud, theft, or adultery, not falsify their trust, nor to refuse to return a trust when called upon to do so. Sound familiar? Is it me? Am I accustomed to meeting on a certain day and singing songs to Jesus as my God? Have I come together to say, I will not rob, I will not steal, I will not lie? You can trust me. We can trust each other. What Pliny the Younger understood is those people had a God and his name was Jesus. You know, we can't talk about worship in the book of Hebrews without dealing with this verse. I will just read it briefly. Verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, excuse the King James of that, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I want to claim Jesus as my Savior. I want to claim God as my God. Do I act like it? Do I worship God like He's my God? Do I worship Jesus like He's my God? Do I offer a song of praise, the fruit of my lips, continually, daylight to dawn? Or do I just have God in my life? I have God in my life. That's kind of, you ever ask someone if they're a Christian, you ever ask somebody if they come to services, you ever ask somebody if they've been baptized, I have God in my life. That's a defensive reaction to say, back off. I have as much God in my life as I want. That's really what's going on there. God is either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. So how about in service? Turn to Acts chapter 9. Can it be said that I have a God because I serve? Do people see actions in me that prove that I'm a Christian? We're going to use the example of women here. This is intentional. Because a lot of times, well, we preach a lot of sermons and talk about guys, right? We talk about Peter and we talk about Paul. We've already talked about Joshua and Moses. Well, what about Dorcas? What about the faithful women of 1 Timothy chapter 5? These are women for whom Jehovah is their God, and you can tell. You can tell because they serve. Acts chapter 9, let's look at verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. You want to know what should be said of me when I die? That I'm full of good works and charity. Let me ask you a question. Can it be said of you? Do you know why Dorcas was full of good works and charity? Because Jehovah was her God. And if Jehovah is my God, you will be able to see it in my service to others. They beg Peter to come and do something. And look in verse 39 of this same chapter as these people describe not only this woman's life, but the physical vestiges of her holy life. Verse 39 of Acts chapter 9. So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood around him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Doris had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside, knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he preserved her alive. If I die, what will others be able to show? If you died today, what could others show that you had done? What could they say you had done for the church? Would your service show that you have a God? Or would they go, pretty good fella. Not a bad guy. That doesn't show you have a God. That shows you have a little bit of God in your life. You have just enough. But that's not having a God. That's not making Jehovah your God. To make Jehovah your God is to worship profoundly and continually with reverence and awe, realizing that God is a consuming fire, in fear of the fact that I would ever do something to disgrace the blood of His Son, and then serving, full of good works and charity. Look at this card that was written. Look at this meal that was prepared. Look at this dish that was cleaned. Look at this building that's been cleaned. What can someone show when you die that you have done? Do you have a little God in your life? Or is He Lord of it all? 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9. Paul here is discussing the monetary usage of the church's funds. He's talking about the fact that you will have some who want to beg on the goodness of the church, but you will have those who are in need, and those who are in need should be dealt with. They should be taken care of. I say this all the time. There should never be an electric bill that goes unpaid in the North Second Street Church of Christ, ever. Ever. If you are a member of this congregation and you have a physical need, I beg of you to make it known. Look on the back of the bulletin. There are men there who will privately take your concern, and if the issue can be alleviated in a way, this congregation will do it. We will be God's hands of grace in your life. Now, how do I judge a holy woman? How do I judge the kind of woman that is worthy of being put on the welfare of the church? Verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, let a widow be enrolled Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. Now, I realize the pronoun there is her, but it could just as well be he. Think washing feet is women's work? Ask Jesus. Think serving others is women's work? Ask Jesus. Where you at? Are you a 10:02 to 10:59 if the preacher shuts up in time? Is the totality of your Christianity 59 minutes if you can get away with it on Sunday morning? Or is it consistent worship, consistent service? We call them, in non-corona times, we call them three times a weekers. Plug and play. Are they the kind of people who you can tell they have a God because every time the Lord's house is open, the Lord's people are there? When something needs to be done, it is done. We talked this morning in Bible class about the fact that when we work, God works. Well, you got to do your part first. When I die, will I be known for service, good works, and washing the feet of the saints? If it can't be said of me, the problem is not washing feet. The problem is who is on the throne of my life. I don't have a God. Romans 12 and verse 1, very briefly. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Are you telling me God wants all my life? Yes, I am. You telling me God wants my life on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays and Fridays? Yes, I am. Are you saying that He actually wants me to work for the church? Yes, I am. In fact, I am saying to you that if you're not doing those things, you don't have a God. You have a little God in your life, but you have not made God Lord and King of your life. Because someone who has made God, their Lord, serves. We worship and we serve. Not the last verse, but the last section of the sermon. I have to do that for David. He gets excited. Do I have a God to whom I repent? And I worked with that construction. I'm not sure that's exactly the way that's supposed to be worded. Toward whom I repent. That's the idea. Do I have a God to whom I repent? Do I have a God that I say, Lord, your will be done and not mine? Because I'm here to tell you that if I continue in sin, I do not have a God. I do not have a Lord of my life. I have a buddy. I have a Superman. I have a slave to my passions. I have a God who I want to save me, but I don't want to become like. I'm going to be miserable when I get to heaven because everything about God makes me miserable here. And everything that will make me miserable there, I cling to here like my life depends on it. Am I willing to repent? Who gets to decide what is sin? Me? You? Culture? Social media? The government? Those things are not my God. Those things are God for a lot of people. For a lot of people, their God is just, you're not the boss of me. They may have a little God in their life, but God is not Lord of their life. And you can tell. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Give me a second to get over there. I'm not going to have time. I'll just tell you ahead of time, I'm not going to have time to deal with everything that's in this passage. I want you to read it on your own time. But it's awesome. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sounds so good and sweet, doesn't it? The grace of Jesus Christ, our salvation, those early moments of becoming a Christian. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. But if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Real quickly, let me read Hebrews 10, 26 and 27 to you. For if we go on sinning deliberately after having received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. You claim to be a Christian. I claim to be a Christian. How do I live my life? Do I continue to conform my life to the passions of my former ignorance? Or do I conform my life and am transformed in my mind to be like God? Be holy as I am holy. Which is it? Our final verse is Colossians chapter 3. You know why all these lists of sins are in the Bible? Because we need to hear them. Because we need to know what the will of God is. If I have a God. If I don't have a God, these things are meaningless. How I live my life shows whether I have a God. Do I worship God? Would a pagan understand if they follow me around for a week? Would they realize there's a guy who has a God? I see him go to his God's house. A pagan might say, I see him go to his temple. Would someone who is a pagan, if they followed me around, would they see me do anything for my God? Would they see me serve others because of my God? You know, we talk about Mormons a lot. Mormonism is a crazy thing. Drives me nuts trying to deal with them. When you deal with somebody that believes in conspiracy theory, and Mormonism is a conspiracy theory, when you talk to someone like that, you can't talk to them. You know why? Because they're just making it up as they go along. Sir, you say you're an elder, you're 20 years old, you don't have a wife. Well, Book of Mormon says it's cool. Look, man, when you go to the Book of Mormon says it's cool, there's nothing I can tell you. But I'll tell you something about those people. If you followed them around, you know what they got? They got a God. How about that? Now, they may be serving him in a way that may not get him to heaven. They're following after the traditions of man and not the Word of God. There's no doubt about that, and that worship is in vain. But I'll tell you this right now. They got a God. Because if you follow them around, you know what you'll find them doing every week? Going to their temple. And you know what you'll find them doing? How are they known? Sorry, I'm not asking you to answer this. You talk to a Mormon. You're dealing with a Mormon. And you show them all these things, and they just come up with, well, you know, because I believe my God existed on some planet, we're all going to be gods. Okay, sure, whatever. That's not in the Bible. I don't care. It's in my Bible, and that's what I believe. You talk to them, and you talk to them, and you talk to them. In the final analysis, you know what that is? That's a community of people who can be trusted and who serve their God. That is attractive. Can it be said of me and you? If they followed me around, would I be ashamed to be followed by the next person be a Mormon? We don't judge things in a human way this way, but let's say someone followed me around for a week and then they followed a Mormon around for a week. And they came back and they asked the one, which one of these people has a God? Which one of them has a God? Who would it be? Would it be me? Would it be this church? Do we have a God? If they followed us around, when they see us involved in so much sin that they can't see straight, and when they follow the Mormon around and they go, that person clearly restrains their physical impulses. They don't wallow in sin in their life. Those people over there, as soon as they get out of the church building, could it be said of us that we have a God? This, I can't get over it. We lie to each other. We demonize each other. Can we be trusted? If I had sin in my life, could I come down on that pew and say, I need help? The people you can trust are people who have a God because they fear something greater than themselves. Because they have a standard of right or wrong that is not whether I want to or whether I like to or whether I think anything. They have a standard that there is a God. He is an all-consuming fire. I fear Him. He has saved me. I will serve Him. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. You be holy as God is holy. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ who is your life appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is having another God. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these too, you once walked when you were living in them, when you did not have a God. But now you must put them all away. Why? Because Jehovah is your God. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Be holy as God is holy. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Do we trust each other? Do we love each other? If we don't, it's because we don't have a God. Because people who have a God can be trusted. This world is tearing us apart. I can choose to be part of that, or I can choose to not be part of that. I can choose to widen the breach or heal the breach. In here, there is no Greek or Jew. There is no black, there is no white. There is no left, there is no right. There are people who have a God. There are people who do not lie to each other. There are people who do not covet. There are people who honor marriage, who say, I will honor the marriage before I enter it. How will I honor a marriage I'm not in yet? Because I will be faithful to my spouse before I know my spouse. I will not involve myself in sexual immorality. To wallow in drunkenness and anger and sexual immorality and division and in earthly lust is pagan, and those people have no Jehovah as their God. It should never be said of us. If someone followed me around, would they see me be mean to my neighbor? Would they see me be mean to my children? Would they see me take advantage of my coworker? Would they say that I have guile? Jesus said about Nathanael, there is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Do I have guile? I don't have God. Because that's fear. If I'm trying to trick you, it's because I'm afraid. You know what Christians say? I'm going to live the way God wants me. If it hurts me to tell the truth, it hurts me to tell the truth. Jerry Clower used to tell a story about a guy who said he would rather climb a tree to tell you a lie than stand on the ground and tell you the truth. What about us? Am I trustworthy? Put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Put on the new self, renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. My life, from the time I become a Christian until I die, is a time of repentance, of turning to be more like God every day, of carving away the things that are not God. I have a God. I worship Him regularly. You might even say religiously. I have a God, I serve Him, but it pales in comparison. I have a God, and He gets to say what is sin in my life, and from that I repent. If you've never become a Christian, this lesson is about that very thing. Do you believe in Jesus? Not just that He's a name from history. Do you believe He was sinless? Do you believe you have sin and you need a sacrifice that you can't give? Do you believe that God sent His Son down to be that sacrifice for you and that He died on the cross and His blood can cleanse your sins? If you will make Him Lord of your life, He will save your eternal soul. If you've never become a Christian, give yourself to God. Let His will be done in your life as we stand and we sing.